are listening to WMIE, Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running. The mics are hot. The lights are on. The airwaves are being filled with the Word of God today, and I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. So thank you for tuning in. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we spend 30 minutes a day here on WMIE 91.5 FM talking about the Word of God. And we want to thank you for making us part of your faith journey. So if you do not have a church home, we would be privileged and honored if you would come and be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. We exist because we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing to God, to our family, to our church, to our community. And we want to be a blessing spiritually, relationally, financially, however we can be a blessing. That's what we set out to do. So we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, and we appreciate their the work that they do here in the community. And their family goes back longer at Merritt Assembly of God than ours does. But they've been in Brevard County a long, long time. They've got decades of experience doing block and concrete work. And so if you have a job that is coming up that you need to have done, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, and they will put their decades of experience, their expertise in all things concrete, and their tremendous work ethic to work on your project, and it will get done in a wonderful manner, a timely manner, a professional manner, and your project will be off to a solid start. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're looking at this concept of inspiration. What happens when God breathes? And for the first 5 days of creation, God spoke and things came into existence. So there was an expulsion of communication, and the universe quickly and completely responded to what came out of the Spirit of God's mouth, or the Word of God's mouth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, and Jesus is the Word. So on day six, that is when man is created. And so if you get to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says this: "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And so here in Genesis chapter 2, we see that whenever God breathes, whenever he begins to move by his Spirit, that life begins to take place. It is what is essential for man to have moved from an inanimate sculpture, if you will, made out of dust, into a living being. And because of that one single breath of God, man has been living ever since. So I see tremendous power, tremendous life when God breathed into man. Now, I happen to really like my breath. I like to be able to do that on a regular basis. And I pray that you do as well. So he placed man in the garden, and if you look down to verse number 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for in that day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam and to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Okay? And so there's the description of woman that, or the creation of woman that takes place in the remaining part of chapter 2. And in chapter 3 it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Okay, if you go back and read the text, he hadn't mentioned anything about touching it. Be very, very careful whenever you start adding things to what God has said that God has not said, because you are setting yourself up for your own demise when that takes place. Verse number 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." So God had said that they were not to partake of that tree, that the day that they partook of it, that they would die. And so, and he not only says die, he says you shall surely die. Death is a word that means separation. We're separated from life whenever we are separated from the ability to breathe or think. We are separated from God. We die to God when we are separated from him. And so the fact that their physical bodies continued does not necessarily mean that their spiritual vitality was still in place. In fact, it doesn't take long for there to be a manifestation that there is a problem between Adam and God. Adam hears God's voice and hides from God instead of enjoying the walk in the cool of the evening that they were accustomed to having. I will tell you that as I've been around a lot of people of various ages, that when we're young, we don't necessarily take breathing all that seriously. But people, especially people who've abused their bodies or people who've been exposed to things and their lungs get compromised and where breathing becomes laborious, those breaths become very, very precious. As you go back and read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, I pray that you come out of that with an appreciation for the fact that you and I exist today because God wants us to exist. There are a lot of people who are in hopeless situations right now, to the point that people are thinking spiritually confusing thoughts. They think about suicide. You know, we see way too many mass murders and things like that, and it's because they have lost value in the society that they see, the battles that they're waging, and they don't think that there's a purpose that God has for them on this earth. Life is precious. I'm an issue, you know, it's not election season. I'm not here, you know, to campaign or anything like that. I will tell you this, that I'm an issue voter. I vote life. Life is very important to me because I believe that the lives that God has caused to come into existence, that there's a reason why he had them on this planet. And so whenever, you know, the economy has been the subject of much conversation, whenever somebody talks to me about how horrible the economy is, I ask this question: how many roads would have needed to be built? How many schools would have needed to be built? How many homes constructed? How many different shopping stores? How many different hospitals? How many pairs of jeans? How many shirts? How many pairs of shoes would millions and millions of people whose lives were snuffed out, how many of those things would have been needed? Because that probably would have created a much different economic status for our country than what it finds now. Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there's Acts, there's Romans, and then there's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 42 says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." So we, in our current condition, go around and we still benefit from the breath that God breathed into Adam all the way back in the garden. We also bear the image and the fallen nature of Adam because he sinned. And so even though Adam was created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, we carry around with us that fallen nature. It is not optional. You don't, you know, if you go to a restaurant, my wife and I went away for our anniversary last year. We were at this restaurant, and on the menu, and it was a special occasion, so we didn't exactly know how expensive this restaurant was going to be. Wasn't the craziest expensive restaurant, but it certainly wasn't the least expensive restaurant we've ever eaten at either. But on the menu itself, it says, "We know that people like to make substitutions, but we don't make substitutions here. If you order this dish, you get it exactly the way that it is." And so it's not like Burger King where you have it your way, where I don't want mayonnaise, but I do want mustard. You can give me the lettuce, but you can keep the tomato. Don't put the pickles on there, but double onions or whatever. You know, there's a gazillion different ways that you can order those things. And it's all about having it your way. Here, we don't get to say, well, I don't want to bear the fallen nature. I don't want to experience the ramifications of living in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Everybody's going to experience pain. Everybody's going to experience suffering. Everybody's going to experience discouragement at some point in time. Everybody's going to experience sorrow and loss. You need to say, Jesus, I need you, because I don't want this temporary environment and atmosphere that I'm living in to be the permanent environment and atmosphere that I'm living in. So would you come and forgive me and be the Lord of my life? And so it describes here that the way things are sown, the way that they are planted, is not that the way that they come back. They're sown in a dishonorable manner. They're put in the ground. They're covered with dirt and thrown water on it. But we are raised in a glorious manner. We are sown in weakness, but we are raised in power. It is sown naturally, but it is raised spiritually. There is a natural body, and it is a spiritual body. And here's what it says about the second Adam. It says, the first man, Adam, became a living being. That happened when the Spirit of God breathed into Adam. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A lot of people go through life believing that all they've got to do is live. And so their focus is, okay, what do I need to do to get through the day? When Jesus comes into your life, there is an elevated understanding, not only that are you now alive in Christ, but just as he is a life giver, you can also bring life to a dead and dying world. And I pray that you do that. I pray that when you show up, all of a sudden the demeanor begins to change in the people that are in the room. I pray that all of a sudden that things become more vibrant, things become more jubilant, that there becomes more expectation, that there becomes has more hope in the room. Because you and I, as children of the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's put it that way, children of the Most High God, we carry around the life of Jesus Christ inside of us. And so let's be life givers. Let's be life givers. There's another verse, and I've already read it, but it's in verse number 49, and it says this: "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust," listen to this, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Again, it is a mandatory. As a believer, we started off looking like Adam, behaving like Adam, sinning like Adam, being self-centered, deceived, blinded. You know, there was a comedian that I heard recently, and he was talking about that he was talking about Adam and Eve going for a ride and taking their kids with them and driving past the Garden of Eden, and Adam saying, yeah, we used to live over there until your mother ate us out of house and home. And I thought that was funny. There was another joke. I don't really remember what it was, but it was even funnier than that one. Second one. So if you can't take a joke, I'm sorry. I'll be more serious the next time. But you know, after everything they experienced, Adam went back to God and said, "Hey, if you take the woman back, can I get my rib back?" anyway, so much for the jokes. I'm here all week on 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning. Thank God I don't earn my living playing golf or telling jokes. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of bearing his image the same mandatory way that we carried about inside of us the image of the first man, the first Adam, the marred image, the flawed image, the sinful image. Now we get to live the holy, not death, but life, not just life, but life giving, not sinful, but holy, not just short term, but for eternity. And so as I set this out there to you today, I want you to know that breath, the breath that inspired the scriptures we talked about last week, and the breath that caused a pile of dust to become humanity, that breath is still in full effect. Still in full effect. And the Savior that redeemed us from being separated from God, he wants us to be transformed just from a being in existence to becoming a body of believers that bring life to a community. Bring life to a community. Be a life giver. Be a life giver. Be a life giver to your family. Be a life giver at church. Be a life giver in your neighborhood. Be a life giver at work. Did you know that you're going to cross paths with a lot of people at work? Unless you're me, I spend most of my time in a radio studio by myself, or in an office getting ready to be in a radio studio by myself. I don't get to cross paths with that many people in the office. It's just, you know, part of the preparation process. But when I do come across people, I want to be that one that brings hope, encouragement, brings a good word, a holy word. I want to be a life giver. And so that's what is what this verse has to say. One more verse before we get out of here today, and it's back to the book of Job. I'm sure that's everyone's favorite book, but in Job chapter 33, we were in Job 32 on yesterday's program, but in Job, the 33rd chapter, so this would be Elihu still speaking once I get there. Elihu was speaking in chapter 32, and in chapter 33, it says this, verse number one. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you are listening today and you are discouraged, if you feel isolated and alone, if you feel defeated, I want you to know that you're not alone, that God is right there with you. And instead of staying in that season of depression or discouragement or isolation, that you'll find fellowship with the Spirit of God and experience the presence of God with the saints of God. Chris Tomlin at his concert back in March said, when the people of God sing the praises of God in the presence of God, that wonderful things happen. And I know this, that when you come into the presence of God, listen to what he says. It's the Almighty who gives me life. God is not impotent. God is not retired. God has not lost his capabilities. He's always been the way, the truth, the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He was the creator of life in the garden. He's the life giver spiritually, but he can also bring life into your existence, your reality. He can cause supernatural life to flood your soul in such a way that you'll say, how did I ever make it without him? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. I pray that you'll experience his supernatural life spiritually by asking him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. But I pray that you will also allow him to transform you from just being focused on living and getting through the day and say, how can I bring life to this situation? And it, on a personal level, say, God, by your omnipotence, would you bring life into my life? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for everyone that's listening that you will breathe upon them by the Holy Spirit and that you will bring supernatural, holy life into their existence. And God, I pray today that you would use them to be life givers in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow.
Right. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.